He helps us so that we can help others with the help we have first received from God. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, I'll sing the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, I'll sing this fame in glory, and tell the old story of Jesus and his love. Do you love? Do you love? Do you love to tell? Do you love to tell the story of Jesus and his love? A theologian of the 20th century, some scholars would say that he was perhaps the most well-known and maybe the best theologian of the 20th century, Karl Barth, from the Reformed tradition. He once wrote these words: "A church that is not a missionary church is not a church. A church that is not a missionary church is not a church." By corollary, a person could add to what Barth was saying and say, a disciple who is not an apostle, a learner who is not a sent out one, is not really a disciple. Or one could say, a church that does not do mission is a mission field. A church that does not do mission is a mission field. The Lord doesn't hold out a help wanted sign. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ conscripts us, chooses us, anoints us with his Spirit and his name in the sacrament of holy baptism, so that every day through repentance we rise out of those waters sent forth as apostles. People who have been caked in the dust of Rabbi Jesus, we who have sat and learned and taken notes, sent out to help others with the compassion of Jesus, that gut-wrenching, stomach-in-knots constipation, if you will, stomach of passion and compassion, wanting to care for those who are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Healing the sick, casting out the demons, curing those who have leprosy, raising the dead to life, and preaching the kingdom of God. That there is forgiveness in the name of Jesus, that he is the way and the truth and the life that the Father has made, so that all people might be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, Peter says, will be saved. And so the Lord patiently disciples us so that he can then commission us and send us out to do the holy work of the kingdom. The church that is not a missionary church is not really a church at all. It's just pretense. This past week, I needed to get a file cabinet. I'm running out of space. I'm going to relocate down in the basement of my house so that I have more space. Well, Julie found one on Craigslist. And Matt has a pickup truck. So rather than trying to pile it into my small car, I thought this is going to be a sweet deal. So we went to the southeast part of Rochester to check it out and if it was suitable to purchase it. The guy wanted $30 for it. That's a good price. Matt said to him, would you take 20? He said, well, I'd take 25. He says, well, I think that'd be fair. And I said, well, then you got a deal, right? So I got a $25 four-drawer file cabinet. Wonderful. Well, I was on a mission. Those of you who know me know that I didn't just go there to pick up a file cabinet. And Matt discovered that. I mean, he knew that we needed to get back home. You know, he's got three little girls that needed their baths and stuff like that. And I spent about 10 minutes talking to this guy, the seller. His name is Ryan. And I asked questions. And I'm sure you do too, because this is the mission field we're in, right? Right out our front door every single day. So I said, Ryan, what school do your kids go to? Because Matt's a teacher, and I said, my daughter's a teacher over in Byron, kindergarten kids. He said, well, my wife is homeschooling. And so little by little, I found out a lot about Ryan. I found out that he went to school at Stout, University of Wisconsin, Menominee, where my dad helped build that place. And his wife, I found out, was homeschooling because they're concerned about some of the things happening in our country and our culture. And I also said, because I'm kind of bold, you maybe don't know that about me, but I said, so if you don't mind, could I ask what church you attend? And he said, well, we go to Bethel. And so I said, well, if you're going to go to an ELCA church, I said, I know the pastors there, that's probably the best choice you can make if you're going to go to an ELCA church. And I found it strange. I mean, you've got to remember, this is the first time I met Ryan. And so I found it strange that they were concerned and wanted to have homeschooling because of the culture we're living in, and yet they seemed not to care about what church they were worshiping at because that's where his wife grew up, so therefore they're going to stay there, right? But I did give him a few nuggets because that's what learners, right, disciples do that are sent out in the name of Jesus. We're not just there to make friends with everybody and make sure that everybody loves you, right? You're there to speak the truth, to proclaim the gospel, to announce that the kingdom is at hand. So I said to him, I said, well, you know, you've got this Bible camp called Good Earth Village. I said, did you know that they have a women's day there every year? Did you notice who the speaker was this year in June, Pastor Jess? You might want to check that out. I said, plus there's a subgroup in the ELCA. Are you aware of them? I said, they're called Naked and Unashamed. A lot of them are students at the Chicago School of Theology. They're going to be future Lutheran pastors of the ELCA. They're a subgroup that says this is nonsense that we require people to wait until they're married to have sex. They think that there's all kinds of appropriate context for sexual expression, and it doesn't have to be between one man and one woman or between a couple. He said, no, I wasn't aware of that. Well, then we needed to leave and head home. I don't know what will become of that. I'm concerned for this young man, his wife, and his kids, as we all should be, as Jesus is, right? Your stomach is in knots right now. I know they are, right? Splagna, right? I mean, it's just, that's what they're talking about, this compassion of Jesus. It just binds you up inside here. And Matt, on the way home, he said, I see you were networking. And I said, that's the mission field, right? Everyone I meet, every door that God opens up, wherever I'm at, is a potential member of Emmanuel Lutheran, a potential member that needs the kingdom of God and Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's just the way it is. That's what it means to be a missionary church. Our antenna is always up. We're not off the clock. We're not off the clock. It's 24/7. And God is giving us opportunity upon opportunity to preach the gospel, to announce that Jesus is Lord and there is salvation in his name. You probably noticed that 2 weeks ago it was Pentecost, and last week was Holy Trinity. You probably noticed that 2 weeks ago our text was from Acts chapters 1 and 2, and Jesus had made this promise, stay in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. And then Pentecost Sunday comes, and it's the fulfillment of promise. Lord, will you at this time fulfill the kingdom to Israel? It's not for you to know times and seasons that have been fixed by the Father's authority. But you shall receive power, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, a martyr, in Jerusalem, start in your neighborhood, start with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I know it's not easy, the inactives in a congregation or people in your own biological family, but Jesus says that's where you start, in Jerusalem. And then you move out to Judea and Samaria, and then you move out to the ends of the world. That was 2 weeks ago. And then last week, the end of Matthew's gospel, Holy Trinity Sunday, Jesus has all authority. And so he says to all the church, go, get out of here, get moving. Disciple. Be disciples, make disciples of all people everywhere, baptizing them in the all-inclusive name of the one and only God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. And if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed, Jesus says, don't forget, I am with you always, always, to the close of the age. That's what Jesus promises. He is going to be with you always. Well, that was 2 weeks ago and last week. And here we go at it again tonight. Because tonight we're at the end of chapter 9 of Matthew's gospel and the beginning of chapter 10. And you know where we've been. I mean, after the birth narrative, you got that beautiful Sermon on the Mount. Chapters 5, 6, and 7. And then the preacher becomes the practitioner and does 10 miracles in chapters 8 and 9. And then at the end of all of this preaching and practicing, Jesus kind of states the obvious. He says to his disciples, you've been paying attention to the crops? They're looking good, huh? Big harvest. I mean, he's kind of overstating the obvious to maybe disciples who are oblivious. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He's not hanging out a help wanted sign, but he's pointing out the obvious. There's people that need to be saved, that are drowning in the waters of sin. So he doesn't hang a help wanted poster. You know what he does? He says, I taught you how to pray, so get to it. Pray! And you saw what it says there. It says, pray earnestly. It's not about don't just kind of dip your little toes into the waters of prayer. No, he's talking about the deep end. Dive into it. Pray earnestly, fervently. Now, you caught the irony of what's going on at the end of chapter 9, right? Because immediately you end and they're praying, and then in chapter 10, verse 1, what happens? These disciples are called apostles. These learners are called sent out ones. You can't be a disciple and not be an apostle. You cannot be the church and not be a missionary church. It's an oxymoron. You see? You could almost picture the disciples praying, Father, Jesus has been really busy. He's going into all the villages and all the cities, and he's healing people, and he's teaching people, and, oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, he needs some help. Give him some help. And then you can almost picture the Heavenly Father saying, yep, you got that right. Get going. What are you doing? You see, that's the dangerous thing about praying, right? You pray about something, and God's already determined, who's going to get to work. That's just the way it is. Maybe that's why people don't like to pray. They already know what the answer is. And 9 times out of 10, it's staring them right in the face. There was a pastor, a famous pastor, and he was walking around the town that he lived in, and there was a missionary home on furlough. He saw this well-known pastor and said, oh, this is providence. We just called a special prayer meeting at the church. It's a prayer meeting of urgency. Will you please join us? And the pastor said, of course I will. And so he went in, and there was about 10 to 12 people that were gathered for this prayer meeting of urgency. And so this well-known pastor, he says, I like to pray in specifics and not in generalities. Can you tell me, what specifically are we praying for? And they said, we have an urgent financial need. We need $50 right now. He said, then let's pray. And so 10, 12 people, they're gathered in a circle. And what they did was, you know, one prays, then the next one prays, then the next one prays, then the next one. They just go around the circle. They get around the circle, and the leader says, you know, I'm not hearing the Lord's hand in this. Let's pray some more. This is after about an hour of praying. So they go around the circle again, and each one is praying. And that takes about another 45 minutes to an hour. And the leader says, we're still waiting upon the Lord. We still need to pray. And so they start a third time going around. They get to about the third or the fourth person. Her name is Anne. And Anne is praying, and God speaks to this well-known pastor. And God says, Mr. Lepick, Pastor Lepick, what about that $50 you have in your pocket? He heard. He stopped. He said, Ann, stop praying right now. He interrupted her in the middle sentence of her prayers. Ann, you stop praying right now. The Lord has just answered your prayer. And he pulled his wallet out and said, here's the $50. It's right here. And later that night, as he was preaching to the congregation, he said, I learned again what the Lord wants to teach me about prayer. Prayer is a dangerous thing, because you start praying for something. Don't be surprised when God says, you're the one. Thanks for praying about it. Now get the busy. Get to work. You know? That's the way it works. You can't be the church and not be a missionary church. It's an oxymoron. You can't be a disciple and not be an apostle. Which is probably why a lot of congregations these days are majoring in minors, and just focusing upon lists and membership, I suppose. Carl is a salesman. And so Carl was coming home from being on the road. He's driving through his neighborhood, and he notices that on the corner there's this little card table, and here are 3 or 4 little kids selling Kool-Aid. So he decides to pull over. He says, what you got? They said, we got Kool-Aid. We've got grape, and we got strawberry. He says, here's $1. He said, I'd like to have a glass of that Kool-Aid. They said, what flavor? He said, surprise me. And they did. And He gives them a dollar, and they're realizing on this little cigar box that they have, they need to make change. Because the sign out there didn't say help wanted. The sign said lemonade, said Kool-Aid, 25 cents. So they're making change, and Carl is drinking his Kool-Aid. And then the one little boy walks over to him and says, "Are you just about done?" He said, "Well, yeah, I am. Why do you ask?" He said, "Well, we need that cup. It's the only one we've got. And without that cup, we're out of business." Think about that with the church, my friends. If we lose Jesus, the cup of blessing, we're out of business. And maybe one of the problems that churches have is that they've been drinking Kool-Aid out of the wrong glass. Maybe. Jesus says, "I'm going to send you out." And he tells them, there's going to be hospitality, but don't go house hopping. Don't keep looking for a better deal. You're not climbing the ladder. You're announcing the kingdom. You've been helped so that you can help others. That's what God wants. And then he says, there's going to be hostility. You're going to get rejection. So when they don't want to receive you or listen to what you're saying, just shake the dust off. Because let's face it, if they don't want to give you anything, they certainly don't want to give you their dust. So get rid of it and move on. And when they bring you before the courts, don't worry about what you're going to say. You've got the Holy Spirit, you know. You know that, right? Don't worry. The Spirit will give you the words. But expect rejection and hostility. Why? Well, because Jesus says, "You're my lambs, and I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." That's just the way it is. The missionary church, the witnessing church, the Great Commission church, the disciple apostleship church. That's who we are. There was two young men. They were wearing white shirts and black ties. And they were walking around the neighborhood going door to door. They rang the doorbell, and the woman of the house, answered the door. And it was, first of all, small talk. They had these little badges on that said elder. They're from the Mormon church. And so small talk, and then they got into some big talk. And they said, "So do you mind, ma'am, if we ask you a question? In your neighborhood here, who do you think would be most likely to come to our church?" And the woman said, "Well, actually, I would hope that they would come to my church." And the Mormon missionaries, they said, "So which church do you go to, ma'am?" She said, "The Lutheran church," and pointed. And then one of those two white shirt, black tie missionaries, they said, "So do you go around your neighborhood and invite your neighbors to come to your church?" And she said, "No, but I should." But I should. Jesus doesn't hang out a help wanted sign. He just uses the water and the word. That's what he does. He makes disciples, you and me. And then he calls us apostles. He says, "The fields are white for harvest. The workers are few, enough to make a grown man or a Messiah cry, weep. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more workers out. Pray. And if you pray, don't be surprised if God taps you on the shoulder and says, "What are you waiting for?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able. Our hymn of the day is,